nicely. You guys, you guys sound terrible. Terrible. I mean, did you guys stay up all night?
Yeah, man.
You did.
Yeah.
You stayed up all night.
Can I get these Maury. Lights off?
No way, man. I can't believe. Can you please? What? Something happened in here last night. In case you're not aware, someone had a crazy New Year's Eve party. Happy New Year to you guys. This is going to make sense in a little bit. What we're doing this morning is we are making a memory, and we are going to challenge our hearts this morning, and we are excited that you guys are with us. And it's not by accident that you are here. Pastor Bill and Glenna and I, we have been reminded of that more than ever this week. God has us here for a reason this morning, and we believe God has a great message for us this morning. So before we get started and these guys get their act together, what I'm going to ask you guys to do is just kind of straighten up your chairs, okay, kind of facing the front. And while you're doing that, give someone a handshake and tell them hello, and then we're going to get started this morning, okay? So we'll do that in a couple minutes. Thanks. Good job. Happy New Year. Grab a seat, everybody. And while you guys are all up and while they're making noise, the stars can be dismissed right now, and then the stars are going to come back in when we begin our music. We're doing things a bit backwards this morning. So stars are dismissed right now. Right now the stars can go back. I see them making a mad rush to the back right now. Fantastic. Way to go.
A mad rush. It's a mad, mad rush.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, man.
Good morning.
How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Man, we had a party, huh?
Crazy.
Oh.
Did you see that already? Okay, here's the good news. You guys, some of you came in this morning. You see how they came in? Some were like, I'm going home. Some liked it, but let me go to the very end so that we don't forget the very end. We want the people coming in the next service to have the same impression you did. So Ben asked you to arrange the chairs. He meant just the chair you're sitting in. So when we're done at the end, we want you to turn all your chairs back around, okay? You guys were two, now they're all in rows, and now some of you who don't like change feel comfortable.
Yeah, they were super, you were super efficient, by the way. I mean, the way you put those chairs together, holy cow, I'm telling you what.
So what did you hear? Okay, what did you hear as people, did you hear or see anything as people walked in? I mean,
it was just their face. Your faces said it all. You kind of walked in. It was like,
what happened?
What is happening?
Yeah, Pasta walked in and said, I think I'm going home.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, if 2012 is like this, I'm not going to be there. You know?
I believe his exact words were, if this is an indication of what's going to take place in 2012, then I'm going home. So.
Yes, I think that was the word.
But they missed it. You should have been here last night when these two were doing cannonballs in the baptistry.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, yeah.
Boosh. Look at the baptistry. See, there's the baptistry. Yeah, and then, I don't know, Rob, he's in the booth. He's doing the media for us. He walked in and kind of said, how come I wasn't invited? That's, you know, so the issue. And then, of course, we're going to blame it all on the youth department, right?
It was them.
Oh, yeah.
It was them.
It was the youth.
Even though the pictures say otherwise.
We weren't here.
Yeah. All right. And as we are doing this morning, believe it or not, there is a point. We're going to try to get to that point. But as you walked in and you saw all the chairs in disarray, there's a lot of analogies that we can make that we thought about this. This wasn't just by, okay, well, we're going to do this now. We actually had some thought to that process. So, and that's why we want the chairs turned back around for the second service, so that people walk in for the second service and say, uh-oh, what happened here? But there are a ton of analogies that if you walked in, some of the things you thought, some of the things you saw, some of the things you felt, what do you think are some of the analogies that people may have had or that we can make out of walking into church and having it in total disarray like that?
Yeah, I think the first one for me is, man, it seems like during the week my life can be like this. You know, just crazy chaos. Who knows what's going to take place next? But then on Sunday when you come in, my life needs to be
time
neat,
for the game face.
Neat and tidy.
Yeah, so yeah. Everybody has to see us as neat and tidy.
That's
huh?
right.
Yeah. The reality is that some of you walk in and your life's already a mess, but we have to look just the part, huh?
Yeah, and even ours at times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone thinks we at home have this amazing life and we're always so happy-go-lucky, but, you know, we have fights before we show up on Sunday
Never.
Mornings. I mean, not with my wife, I mean with my kids.
I don't have fights before I show up on Sunday morning. There's okay. never a fight that I have before Sunday morning.
You just fight all week long.
Because I leave before she gets out of bed. So I can get that control. That's how I control my spiritual life, before she gets out of bed. You know, that's it. How many of you, show of hands, do not like change? Raise your hand. All right, because some people walk in. Well, Jack, you don't like change, really? I am proud of you. You walked in. Yeah, he's shooting his horse. There you go. Because some people, we knew going into this morning that some, you know, in this issue of change would have a real hard time with it because it's just, you know, you don't like change. And you know, I think some of the analogy is as we come if you can't handle, I was thinking this, and I think we talked about this or a text about this.
Yeah.
Even you and I text. Amazing, huh?
We did. We are so...
We are... No! But if we come into a church that's in disarray like this and we can't handle the change of a chair, I wonder at times how much are we really going to allow God to change our lives? If we can't handle a chair being changed in a church, we come in and therefore we expect our church to be in a row, and I wonder how much change can really take place right in the process of our lives if we don't do that, you know? Because some people want to be... You know, they have that, have to have this, which also speaks to control. People want to have control.
Yeah. Yep.
And when you walk into a room that seems really out of control, it just, and I think some people here, if now it's somewhat okay.
You guys are all back in your normal places, we've noticed.
Yeah, that's you brought that,
that
up.
That is amazing.
That was amazing, because some of you, even when the chairs were turned around, you looked for where yours were, and that's where you went and changed the chairs back for your rear end right there.
Yeah. Oh, Reba walked in and she goes, I need to figure out where row four is.
Yeah, where's row four? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I know your name's right there. And we did do some, I did reserve some because I didn't want to have heart attacks or have the police or fire come. So over there you'll see Diane. I reserved Diane, Bertie, and Linda back there. This says reserve four, and I kept them straight. And then just because, and he may be here in the second service, but if you'll notice in the back, there's one reserved for Jeff, and it's facing the wall in the corner, okay? So if you see him in the second service come in, just say, Jeff, you have a special seat over there, and you're not to be moved, okay, in that whole process. There is a point to this, and I think within that point, as we look at, part of it is, Pastor Ben, months and months ago in one of your messages, you gave us a phrase. Do you remember that phrase?
I do.
Okay. Tell us again what that phrase was, because I think this really applies to that phrase.
Yeah. I don't know where it's from. I'm sure I can look it up one of these days. I did take it, borrowed it for the time being. But God offends our minds often. People offend our minds. But really, God offends our minds, and what it does, it reveals our hearts. And although that's a tough phrase to come to grips with, it's true. Because he does offend our minds quite often, but it reveals our hearts. And we really have, I mean, we have a lot of responses to that. We can ignore it and say, well, no, that's not me. Or we can say, yeah, that is me. But this is one of those days when God is offending our minds.
Right.
Our view, our sight.
Yeah. So when they come in, hopefully it did offend or assault, if not offend, but challenge your mind. And within that part, what we want to do now is really challenge your heart within that. We say it every week. Ben's already said it. You're not here by mistake. You're here by design. And as we look through this, as we planned this weeks and weeks ago to make all these changes, it wasn't just to be creative. It was the issue of developing a way, another way to share the content of what really is all about. And as you look at 2011, like some of you, how many of you hit midnight last night? And I mean awake.
Wow.
I can't raise my hand because I didn't make it awake. I never intended to make it awake, you know. You did. It was great, huh? Did you celebrate, I wonder how many people are celebrating losing 2011 versus gaining 2012, you know, because some did. How many of you are instead of looking forward to 2012, are glad 2011's over? Raise your hand. There you go. Okay, I hear you. I feel your pain. All right, the rest of you are looking forward to 2012? Is that just a new year, new start? There you go. I wonder if that breaks down into optimist and pessimist.
I'm sure it does, yeah. Or there's the other one. How many of you guys wish 2012 wasn't coming and want to just continue staying on in 2011? Okay, two people. Okay.
Yeah.
And so within that process, the whole point of this is where this started was when the issue of us talking about after the party. Yep. And after the party, for some, I'm sure no one in our church. No one in our church, right?
Can't believe we're going to bring this up.
Okay, no one in our church would be ending up this morning with a bottle of Tylenol and having a hangover.
Yeah.
Right?
No one.
Or they're not here, if they were.
Yeah. Yeah, apt point. Yeah, yeah. Or you'll see him. Jack, are you blowing your horn again? Or are you, all right. The reality is the hangovers, and within that process of, there's a lot of different kind of hangovers, though, as we come to 2012.
Yeah.
As you know, for some leaving 2011, obviously the first hanger you think of is people who were imbibed too much and had too much holiday cheer last night.
Yeah.
But there's other hangovers. What are the other hangovers?
There is the physical hangovers, not just of, you know, being too involved in the party, but the physical hangovers of just your physical body. Illnesses don't stop because it's 2012, you know? The physical ailments that you have or the aches and pains you have don't stop because it's January 1st. Although I wish that's the way it was.
Yeah, and there's emotional hangovers. You know, you've you've gone through a lot of stuff this year, and you're still reeling from it. And, sometimes you don't want to give it up.
Yeah.
You just want to hang on to that and nurse it and pet it and love it.
Interesting point. Sometimes what we complain about most, we never want to lose.
Right.
Really, when you think about it, some people are identified by the hangovers that they have, whether it be emotional hangovers, financial hangovers, or the troubles that they face. Some people, that becomes their identity. They want to hang on to that because they wouldn't know how to act if they actually lost that burden and that weight they were carrying.
Big way to get attention, too.
Absolutely.
Only
females do that, right?
No, wait a minute.
No.
And then there's relational hangovers.
Today.
Yeah, yeah.
Relational hangovers, too, you know.
Yes. Good and bad, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
That's my favorite one, the relational hangovers, because the people you were living with in 2011, unless you're kicking your kids or your spouse out, you still live with them January 1st. I mean, they hang over.
Just leave before they get out of bed.
There you go.
Go home after they're in bed. No, just kidding.
That works for our marriage, too.
Yeah, just go. You know, I'm gone. But there is a difference. As we start thinking through this, there is, and this will all make sense in just a moment here as we transition here. But there is the issue of not only just hangovers that we're carrying over, but the issue of a rollover. And the rollover has the idea, when you say, hey, this is a rollover, it's going to roll over in your 401 or roll over in your retirement. That's the idea of a perceived benefit, a desired benefit. And so as we look, for some reason, it's just a day on the calendar. You know, that's all it is. In God's economy, yesterday to today meant absolutely nothing. Because it's not about tomorrow, it's about this day. We live this day and strength for this day. But the issue of rollovers and that issue of what carries across that we want to keep and those kind of things. What does rollover mean? Does it engender a thought in your head or...
Yeah, I think it's those patterns or those habits that you've instilled in your life that are bringing joy, that are bringing honor to the Lord. And I think that's our job as believers is to decipher it happens on New Year's because it's a new start, it's a fresh start. But really, every day our desire should be to decipher between the hangovers, those things that can be negative, or the rollovers, and what we're going to allow our lives, allow our lives to be about and choosing those things.
Do you make, are you one that makes... you know, New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes? Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah, I make a couple of them.
Do you?
Yeah.
I mean, I try, you know, and they last about 6 weeks, some of them. I mean, there are certain things that I just keep focusing on all year long, but I don't say that I always can look back and say, well, last year I decided this, and it was awesome, and I did it all.
How many of you are resolution makers? Makers, not keepers, I said. Makers. There you go. The hands go up then all of a sudden. Yeah. Yeah, how many of you have got, like me, burned out on resolutions? Like, why bother? There you go. Yeah. We joined the crowd. Toot your horn, Jack. You know. I think the resolution, I think there's a rollover, a desired benefit of some of the resolutions that we may make, and not about like the relational hangover or even the emotional hangover or even the relational, the financial, all those can be burdens. But I think, how do we approach 2012? How do we look at that? And not just about because of day on the calendar. We use this day today to demonstrate a point. But how do we deal with the next day? Whether it be the next year, how do we deal with this day? How do we deal with it in 2012? So we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3. And there's a verse there. It says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, in Philippians 3, that's a great passage in that whole process, but I think there's some things that we're going to talk about this morning, three things, actually, that we're going to look at in the process of not just facing 2012, but facing tomorrow. But especially as we look at that, I think the first one that we have to understand is, not that I've already obtained all this, or I've already been made perfect. Now, he's talking about in our relational issues here, not in our positional issues. He says, but I press on to take on hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. In other words, I think the first thing we need to know is, what is your goal in life? I think as you look at every day, not just this year, but what's the goal of our life? What is the goal of this day? I take hold. He's not talking about, man, I'm gonna take hold for the next year. He's not making a resolution for the next year. He's making a decision this day, and pretty soon this day and this day and this day and this day will turn into a month, a 4 months, a 6 months, a year. But to know the goal, and I think, I guess in our church, we talked about last week, what were some of the goals that we had, or what were the blessings that we saw working with the church. And for me, I think even as we know the goal, I think it is live as who you are today. If you know the Lord as your Savior today, and I imagine most churches across America on this day, where last week they were probably jammed. I mean, the sense was they were jammed. We were jammed. People getting in their Sunday in for Christmas may or may not have been believers. But I think this day is probably going to be most of the worship houses around the world are going to be filled with those who know Christ. But in that process, do you know the goal of knowing Christ? Live as who you are. I wish if we could get that across. Why? Because Jesus said, my grace, my imputed righteousness is good for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That your sins are forgiven yesterday and today and tomorrow if you know Christ. And we are, our position is in heavenly. We are in Christ. He has forgiven us. We are given his imputed righteousness. Now, Paul is saying, I'm not perfect. We're not perfect this side of heaven. One day we'll be there. One day we're going to. But he says, in the heavenlies, right now, God sees you as righteous. So live that way. God sees you, if you know Christ today, he doesn't see your failures. He doesn't see all the guilt. He doesn't see all the shame. He sees you as righteous. He sees you as covered by grace. So live as who you are. And I think that's the goal. If we would just start out, even in this day, and as we go to 2012, live as who you are. Know the goal. The goal isn't to do some great thing and say, okay, well, I'm better off spiritually because I did this, that. I'm in church, and my life is in order. All the chairs are straight. There's no, you know, I'm not out of shape. I know, no, listen, your life may be a mess, but understand God sees you. He says, I have an advocate with a Father who stands on my defense, and that's the Lord Jesus. And today, if you know Christ, if you have given your life to Christ, he sees you as righteous. Live that way. And Paul is saying, hey, I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect, but I stress within that point, I strive within that point to live as who I am, that I might live in who I am, to know the power of that within that process, to know the goal of your life. What else does that verse tell us? I think you're next. Are you next?
Yeah, it says we need to put back what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. And that requires reaching. And reaching is something that just the very thought of it, it requires effort, it requires intensity, and it takes something on your part. You can't just sit by passively and expect something to happen. And as we try to develop and get closer to the Lord and grow in our maturity, there are some steps we need to take. First of all, recognize what we're doing that's working. And then my goal with every year is to just go a little deeper. Just, you know, what can I do? How can God touch my life and draw me closer to him in another way? To attain spiritual maturity, there's a lot of things that we kind of put in that group that we think of. Things like being in the Word, praying, sharing with other people, tithing, serving, all those kinds of things. And we don't get to where we want to be just automatically. It takes an effort. You know, I think of some of the things that we do in life that are challenging. One of them, I think of somebody who like wants to run a marathon. My son did that a couple years ago. And during that period of time, he was very focused on that and very intent on that. And he didn't just get up one day and run a marathon. You don't just wake up and say, I'm going to run a marathon. I'm going to run 26 miles. Boom. No. It took persistent planning, dedicated effort, little bits at a time every day. And every day as you run a little bit, you run a little bit more. And every day it gets easier. And that's the same thing with spiritual issues. I also think of people who've tried to lose weight. Now, we've got some people right here in this room who've lost a lot of weight this past year. And if you ask them, they're going to tell you, well, it would have been great to wake up tomorrow morning and be down 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 pounds. That would have been fabulous. It doesn't work that way. And sometimes it's two steps forward and three steps back. And that's tough, you know, and it's little tiny increments. And we just have to be patient and persevere and realize that God looks at us as complete and whole already and that we just continue to make that effort. You know, I think one of the things we need to do is pray for motivation, for whatever it is. You know, whatever you're trying to do, the real key is motivation. Until you have that magic thing, nothing happens. And you need to ask God to give you motivation and also listen to the Holy Spirit in your life and ask him to tell you what you need to be motivated for. What does he want to change in you? What does he want to do in you? It's not about you deciding that I need to do X, Y, Z to be spiritually mature. It's about what is God trying to say to me, and am I listening, and am I responding? And then the other thing I would challenge you to do is to pick the things that are hardest first. Mm. You know, when I start my day, if I go to clean up the kitchen and do the laundry, well, that's easy. That's always going to happen. That's always going to happen. But if I decide instead, today I've got a relationship problem with somebody and it needs to be worked on. Mm. So I need to start by making that hard phone call. Or I need to get on my knees and pray for this situation. And I need to not put that off. I need to do it first, because all the other things are going to fall into place. They always do. They're the routine things. So grab a hard thing. Challenge yourself every day to pull on at something that's hard. And, you know, and God is going to respond as you reach toward him. Mm. But it takes effort, and it takes determination, and it takes persistence. You can't just lay back and say, kumbaya, bless me, God, make it happen.
Mm. It does take our part. So know the goal, reach.
Yeah, and the last one is shed the weight. And this is not an exercise dieting point, okay? But I was thinking yesterday about this whole chair process, and we've been thinking about this whole morning for quite a while. And after we did it on Wednesday night, we're like, whew, man, breathing a little heavy some days. And then yesterday, I was sitting in my backyard, and Sam was doing something, and I started realizing this is exactly what needs to take place. Because I believe some of the weight that needs to be shed, Paul says here, forgetting what is behind. Paul was the best of the best. And when he came and to know Christ, he forgot what was behind, meaning what was important to him then no longer became important because of the impact that Christ had made in his life. And when we're talking about shedding the weight this morning, for me, the first thing that pops into my head is the facade that we have in our life. And I don't know what your facade is, but yesterday I was just thinking, the facade that we have it all together. Because, man, I admit to you that I don't. And I think many of us here in this room, if we were to be honest, would say, you know, I don't have it all together either. And a great thing about what you guys have just talked about is the fact that our standing before the Lord doesn't change. And God's grace is sufficient. And I can rest in that fact and admit that, you know what, I don't have it all together. You know, we may think, oh, you know, I've been reading my Bible every day. I'm reading all the right books. And, you know, I'm making phone calls to people that I need to make phone calls. I'm going to my life group every week, and I'm helping the old people across the street, blah, 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 blah. But in reality, when was the last time that God spoke to your heart about something? The last time you opened the Bible and God said something to you? Or the last time where you were out somewhere and God, like it was an audible voice, that I want you to go and talk with that person and to care for them. And so shed that weight of having it all together. That's why this is such a great morning, man. We don't have it perfect. None of us. None of us. And then I think also shedding the expectations that we have for other people. You know, you had expectations before when you walked in here this morning. Oh, you know, it's going to be a New Year's message. You know, Pastor Bill is going to talk about, you know, the 5 steps of how to follow through on your New Year's resolution or whatever it is. Sometimes we need to stop having those great expectations all the time. And I'm not saying don't raise the bar for people. You know, as parents, we raise the bar for our children. You know, in our own life, we have expectations that we set because God has called us to live to a higher standard. But sometimes we hold people to such high expectations that when they let us down, even though we haven't communicated our expectation to them, man, we have an anger and a bitterness towards them. Mm-hmm. And we need to shed that weight. And then also you need to shed the guilt that we have in our life. We carry so much guilt. Again, get rid of it. I mean, God's grace is sufficient. You're going to mess up. You have messed up. You're going to mess up again. But you know what? As you guys have already mentioned, God's grace is sufficient. Yeah. That's what I was thinking about yesterday.
Yeah. I think just Mike Tyler walked up to me right before the service. And he didn't know that he was just, I mean, he didn't know what we were doing. Nobody did. But he walked up to me, I said, I'm like, Bill, this place is a mess. Would you like me to start putting chairs in a row?
Yeah.
And I thought,
super kind response.
Oh, I mean, man, that's great, man. Mike wanted to jump in. Sir, let me help you. And yet, I thought about that because most of us need to say, my life is a mess. And if we did say that, my life is a mess, now what?
Hmm.
Now what? And so as before the band comes and we close in worship, looking at 2012, because that's really going to get us through worship for the 2012, the worship within that. But if we were, if you're here and you say, my life, if somebody were to come and say, my life is a mess, like those chairs out of order and unarranged, where do they start? Where do you think they start?
It starts and it ends for me in the Word, in the Bible. It starts by reading this. You know, just even a couple days ago, I sat down on the table. I'm like, God, I need to be with you. And it starts by reading the Bible. I don't care if it's one word. Just open up and read one word and think about that. Or a sentence, or a chapter, or a paragraph, or an entire book. But it starts with the Bible, by reading it, by understanding it, by digging into it. You know, if you think you have it down pat, you know, there's so much more. So much more, but for me, it always starts right here.
And for me, before Glenna takes us into the worship time, for me, it's just very simply, as we talked about in the issues of faith, is just start, if you haven't been, just start by considering God. Just consider God. Just start, God, what do you think about this? Consider God, and then hopefully to that point of pursuing God. To consider God and pursue God.
We do want to reach for Him. Band, I want you to come up. We're going to start with that song, but as we think about that, you know, God is, the good news is, guys, you think you need to reach for God, and you do, but know that more than anything, He's reaching for you.
Amen.
You know, it says in Philippians, He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And He's the one who dreamed you up. He created you. He gave you breath. He opened your eyes. He saved you. He's drawing you to Himself constantly. And sometimes we are a lot like the guy who gets knocked off the boat, and he can't swim, and he's drowning in the water. And you know, if you're that person, God is holding out a lifeline to you, but He's given you free will. And you can either drown or reach for the lifeline, and that's your choice. But it's always there for you. And whatever it challenges you're facing, whatever is, as you begin the first day of 2012, and you're taking that deep breath and going, what's this year going to hold? Just know that God has got that lifeline, and you need to reach for it. Reach for Him. He's there for you. Let's take it, band.
Take it,
2012.
Let's stand. Come on, let's worship. Yeah.